Welcome to the webcast. This is me, and I'm glad that you could join me. Tonight is the 28th of August, 2016, in the Lucy Coleman studio, Los Angeles, California. In the United States of America, God's good, great planet Earth. Well, back tomorrow, and I'm just going to do maybe a 10-minute thing here. Going back to work. How do I feel taking upon myself, going back to work, hitting the bricks, that's what they call it, hitting the bricks. Making sure that everything is copacetic. That's it. Thank you for coming to my website. For those of you that are wondering how I'm doing, I'm excited about going to work tomorrow simply because I have an opportunity to reinvest in the lives of other people in a positive way, not just to teach philosophy, but to engage in human exchange. I want to do more of that. I want to find ways in which I can do that. It's good. So, I'll just be like the rest of you working people out there working hard. You know, I read the article today on my phone about Dwayne Wade's cousin being shot. I mean, just another useless, senseless killing of a black person. A woman on her way to make her life work, riding in the car with a man that eyeballed these two ex-cons. Now, wait a minute. Now, you know, eyeball two guys in the car and they followed the car, shooting at the guy that eyeballed them. Mean-eyed them. You know, I tell you, don't be looking in people's car giving them the evil eye. Don't do that. That may be the last eyeball you ever blinked at. Well, the bullet missed him and hit her in the head and in the back, I think. She died after she was in the hospital. A senseless, useless, just, you know what, I was in the phone store waiting on help, and I was reading it on my phone, and I just had this disgusting look on my face. There was a white gal that was sitting across from me, a little younger than me, in her 50s, and she saw the expression on my face. I couldn't tell her what I was reading. I don't have any more answers. The only thing that I can say is that, well, my neighbor got a magazine today, and it came to my house by mistake. And the magazine was an arsenal, weapons of mass destruction. Oh, my God. People are arming up. But I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about something decent. What do I look forward to in fall of 2016, huh? Personally, I want to see. I have one young man. He's been trying to get his girlfriend to take me for a year. My class is already filled to the brim. It really is. He just emailed me and said, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. And he attends Cal State. But his young girlfriend he wants her to take me. And I asked him why. And he said, because, Mr. Coleman, you challenge us to think outside of the box. You tell us not to trust anybody but your own self when it comes to that. That's a good thing. Trust where you are. You know, I wasn't going to share this with you guys, but I got to share it because it shows you how corrupt people are. You know, I'm wearing a bald head now, and I'm styling this little nice beard that I have. You know, I keep it trimmed. You know, it's cool and all that. But I went by to visit my barber because I wanted him to tell me about my, you know, my beard. What can I do to? And he said, oh, man, you can't, man, you're doing good. And then he laid something on me. He laid a bombshell on me. He said that some church members, ex-church members, come by his shop talking about me like a dog behind my back. I said, no. He said, man, why don't people hate you? And why won't they leave you alone and let you live your life? I said, man, I don't know. He said, man, they came and ran you down like a dog, talking about your lifestyle and how you live. And I said, and what did you say? And he said, I told them that they need to shut up, and that's why that man quit pastoring them and everything else, because he sees what they are. And this guy never professed to be, though he attended my Bible studies and he learned some good moral lessons. But I just have to share this with you people. Here I am, 72 years old, and these people are still trying to crack on me. What do I have to do again? I have to take some time publicly to say KMA. Now you can figure out what that stands for. And I mean it in a very nice way, because I'm not even going to waste my brains on people like that. Now, let me give you guys some hints, because I know some of you have depression and ulcers and everything else. And most of your depression and your ulcers in this life will be caused by another human being. And in most cases, those human beings that cause you that kind of tension are usually the ones that live the closest to you, because they know you. They know what kind of deodorant you wear. They know how you think. You know, beware if somebody's always asking, how are you doing? How are things going? How's your family? How's it? Why in the heck are they asking all them questions about you and they never come by and see you? Anything. I have some friends of mine now. My friends now, they call me out of the sheer virtue that they want to spend some time with me. Love spending time with me. I met about 3 men last night for the first time, and we just became the closest friends. And then there was a lady there, and our eyes met. She came up to me, and she just wrapped her arms around my neck and squeezed, and she smelled very good. And she said, oh, I know we're going to be friends. Look at you. She said, I feel the spirit in you. This is what she said to me. She said, I feel a spirit in you that loves tremendously. How did that woman know that? I never said anything to her. It's because I go around real people. Now, you people sitting out there, because see, you still hang around the BSers that's trying to use the Bible and religion and everything else to hold you back from being. Remember that commercial that they had years ago? Be all that you could be when you join the army. Why don't you join an army of one? You. What makes you happy? Embrace that. Now, if you go to church because you need that kind of company, and I want you to listen, because see, some of you have put down listening to me. You don't even call me anymore. You don't even think that I'm a redeemed child of God. I don't know what's wrong with you. What is wrong with you? Who are you following? Follow your mind. Check it out. You know, I'm going through some tight days here, right? And my cousin, I was talking with him, and he came by one day and dropped off a few dollars. I really appreciated that. Guess what he did? He called me today and told me, he said, John, you know that court case that I was telling you about? I said, yes. He says, I won it because the job that he was working at, they cut his finger off. And so he said, it's coming through. And he told me, when it comes through, I'm going to pay you all that money that I came by there and took from you when I didn't have anything. I'll probably have about $1,600 in my hand by next week. Well, next month, because he says the money's coming through. What do you mean? You gave him $1,600? More than that. Boy just got out of prison, right? San Quentin. Wouldn't nobody hire him? And the boy was living off of Top Ramen, you know, them noodles. And he'd come over here and his eyes were all bloodshot red. And then he got, because he worked in these big tanks, you know, when they make gasoline tanks. Well, his job was to clean these big refinery tanks. And some of those chemicals got in him. And I said, man, watch yourself, cousin. But anyhow, he called me and he said, when my money come in, I'm going to take care of you because I don't like you over there in need of anything. See, that's the kind of people I hang with. Now, you know what? For all of the hours, and I'm going to talk about it. I never spoke about this in ministry, but do you know how many hours I spent at other people's house and in church nursing their relationship back together? I remember one day I went over there, and the man's wife had a knife in her hand on the kitchen table, and he had just beat the snot out of her, and he was in the bedroom, and I had to put my arms around him until the spirit of peace came back in him, because they were going to kill each other. I was in my pajamas, got up and left my house to go over there to break that up, and the children were sitting on the couch shaking and crying. I just laid on them until they went to sleep, and then I had to handle the adults. Was gone from my house 2 hours. My wife just looked at me. She had a look on her face. See, because I'm believing the Bible. I'm saying, well, I'm the pastor. I gotta help them. And so they won't do that. And you know, some of these people now are driving Mercedes, good lives, living it. Ooh, I don't even hear from them. I take that back. I heard from one. He told me that he had a Jazz ticket for me today, and he thought about me. And this man works with big-time sports, people like Kobe Bryant and stuff. So not all my ex-friends, but most of them in the church. But you know what they sure want to give the pastor, right? We want to get a pastor anniversary. I never let them give me money for nothing. You know, that's when they, well, we want to let our pastor know how much we love him. Well, you can let me know how much you love him if you obey the word of God and keep your damn money. Your money perish. That's the kind of pastor I was when I was pastor in the church. I didn't get no anniversary. I didn't let him give my wife a bunch of money. Well, it's the first lady. I said, we ain't got no damn first lady in this building. What you think this is, the White House? Michelle Obama is the first lady of the nation. Oh, wait a minute. Those of you that are white out there, chill out. Chill out. Put that machete down. Yes, she black. Darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. That's what they used to tell me when I was a kid growing up. I don't know where this racial hate comes from. We've had white presidents all the years that I've grown up here, and I never felt any biasness towards those white boys that was in the White House. And the first time a black man come in there, half of the nation goes insane. Why is that? What's wrong, America? We got churches in all 50 states. Worshiping every Sunday. You're buying TV time, cable time. You're on there preaching about Jesus. You got him looking like you. He ain't never looked like that. You know better than that. Nobody from that part of the world looked like that. But that's okay. I understand how that is. We got to make our religion appeal to us. And then when we, you know, Adolf was a good Catholic there in Germany when he was killing every Jew he could get his hands on. I have pictures on file. I show it to my philosophy students every year of Adolf Hitler shaking hands with the clergy. Now, you know there got to be something wrong with that picture when I look at some of these black preachers. Man, listen, you people better start living for yourself. And every time you come to my website, you will hear me bring an accusation against the evangelical church because they're filthy money whores. Why are they chasing after money? Now, if I was chasing after money, I'd have me something. And I'm not complaining because I don't have anything, because I could have had it. But I would never take money like that from God's people to make my life better. I'll never forget when I went on the one sea cruise that I've ever went on. And there were some black preachers on that cruise with their wives. I remember I was sitting in the back of the boat one day, just having a fruit lunch. And they saw me and they said, "Brother, we've been watching you and you not here with nobody. Are you here with your woman?" I said, "No, my woman left me for another man." Now, they all tried to counsel me, but they didn't understand what I just said. I was saying that my woman left me because she had to go be with God, so I don't have a woman. But they thought that I was saying, and I told them that I was a pastor there alone. And they said, "What? You here? Oh, no, you have somebody in your room with me." Yeah, me, myself, and I. But why would they even ask me that? If I did have somebody in that room with me, what business is it of anyone? I don't think that anyone on that boat can hold me unless I had a child in that room, a minor, a child that couldn't reason. But if the image of a person is over 23, 24 years old and they're in my room, what business is that of anybody? They could be in there signing me up for a book schedule that I'm on the ship to read these books before I come back to L.A. port. See what I mean? You had me doing something else. Oh, people, we need to stop thinking like that. And those of you that allow dirty-minded people to do that to you, do you know what you need to do? You need to become free and start thinking for yourself and on your own. And that's what I'm going to teach those students in that Philosophy 1 class. I'm going to free their minds. We're going to have discussions about epistemology. Oh my goodness, metaphysics, ethics. Wait a minute. Ooh, we're going to talk about religion. Is there a God? How do you know that there's one? Do you believe that there's a God because of anything other than reality facing us? Oh my goodness. Listen to what this philosophy student said. He said, "Did you want Dominguez to come to your class at the start or talk to you after?" See, that's him trying to see whether or not his girlfriend can take this philosophy class, and he's still texting me. And that's the kind of I think that's the kind of disposition that just a second, let me answer this right quick. I have to do this. Just have her come to class and we'll see during the first part of period one. Thank you, Vincent. You have a nice evening. There it is. See, it even as an adjunct professor, I have to be very careful how I speak to these students. This isn't a game. See, this is how I make my living. Just like when I was pastoring the church, young kids would come up to me and try to hug me, especially the young teenage boys and girls. And I would just push them away. No, you're minors. I don't even like minors around me. I get a headache when they're around me. Because if a kid even thinks, and you know what? Most of these kids in our environments today are being touched by their parents or some adult in that house. It may be a cousin, an uncle. That old fat butt boy be over there, and that man, look at that boy. And you know he gonna molest that boy. We're going to deal with ethics. What is morally right? What is morally wrong? And why? And then we're going to look at the ontological nature of things. What is a human being? Is he spiritual or is he just some physical flesh object? Why in the church do they spend so much time telling these young people about sex and to avoid it, when I haven't met a generation of people that has ever avoided it? It is not only natural for them to have that propensity, and as they continuously grow in the nurture of their adulthood, hopefully with wisdom and the guidance of a pretty good damn example of how faithfulness looks, they will figure it out. But by the time church people get, you know what my daughter told me? My daughter's well grown. She said, Daddy, you know what? We were not only afraid to go out there and get involved with people like that because of what you told us personally and how you preach from the pulpit. And they both said, we want to thank you because that fear tactic that you use preserved us with enough time to let us know the kind of persons they had to be with. You understand? Because when you're pastoring, you're also pastoring your family. And it was a wonderful experience. I will never speak down about pastoring. I love doing it. Man, listen, it's just that today, these are not sheep. These are stubborn billy goats in the church. They're out there flopping their behind like Beyonce, loving Beyonce, and then coming to church and see a sister that her children don't have proper clothes to wear. They won't even help out. But I bet they went to that concert, didn't they, to see Beyonce. Oh, don't tell me about a church woman. Ooh, and when it's time for them to serve their food at the church and they all bring it, how many Sundays did I hear women tell their children, see that tray over there? Don't you eat from that one because she made that. These are church people. These are people that are supposed to be loving the Lord God Almighty. You hypocrite wenches. And then they try to always make the pastor a plate. I'm going to tell you the truth. Can I tell you? Most of that food, when they gave it to me, I put it in the back seat of my car. I got home, I threw that stuff in the garbage. My wife cooks for me. I didn't ask for that. No, I want him to taste my... I don't want to taste yours, nothing from you. But I didn't tell you I was putting it in the trash. I don't eat that kind of food. Too much grease, too much fat. All right, wait a minute. I'm not talking about the sisters. But why are these women so big these days? What's going on? And then you expect a nice, young, handsome, thin, strong man to marry a woman that's 2.5 of him. We are out of control in our community. See, and I'm the kind of pastor that would tell you that. I'm not going to say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. No, you're going to have a massive cardiac arrest carrying all that weight around. The heart in your body is not that large. And when that body got to carry that weight over and over and over, that's when you start. You know what? Mario, my son, asked me, when are you going to eat? Because I just had a little thing. I'm going to eat, before I retire. Just eat a little, put it on my stomach. Because I've learned how, And I'm telling you, I feel like I'm 20 years old as I'm doing this right now. Because every time I do this for God, I feel like I'm alive. And it's wonderful because some of you are so young and you don't have decades speaking to you. No one will speak to you. Everybody tells you you're okay. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah, just try it. Yes, you're your own God. Do whatever you want to do. You know what? You need to check your butt. Because it's not like that. There's an old saying in the Bible. And the guy said, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. And you think that because you had an idea to make some money and do this and do that, that is new. People have always been trying to improve humanity. I believe upon each of our deaths, and then if God allows us to see something after we die, and if he allows me to see society 500 years from now, show me what's going to be at this address on Harcourt 500 years from now. I'd love to see that. It would be something like you never thought. That's the God that I worship. Because I know it's not going to be like me. People are not going to think like me. People may not even be growing hair. The environment can be so screwed up, people are going to be living under glass bubbles if they're on this planet at all. And you know they're getting ready to make that jump to Mars real soon. Oh, yeah. I saw a special on TV on it, the Mars Project. And they're thinking about sending some people there within about a decade or so. People, I never thought in my life that I'd live to see this. And we're savagely still killing each other. Wasn't it Dwayne Wade's niece or something shot in Chicago? By two ruthless black thug criminals that they parole, that they should have kept in there. Oh my God, what do you do? What do you do? Why are we doing this? Oh my, and it doesn't make any difference if it's Dwayne Wade. He's just another black man, another human being. But the poor lady's life was cut off. And all because one black man driving in the car with her, the two thugs thought that he bad-eyed him or eyeballed him. I look at people and when I'm driving and I see him looking at me, I just smile and say, hey, God bless you, man. And he smiled and said, oh, yeah, man. Oh, all right. Because, see, he didn't know how I was going to answer. And everybody's on pins and needles. And so I just bring Jehovah, I bring Jah to the forefront. Hey, man, Jah bless you, brother. Yeah, man. Doing a handshake and stuff. Don't be walking around in the city hating people and scared of people. You see a few Mexican guys, Hispanic guys coming down the street. Don't be getting all scared. They're not going to jump you. Just say, my cousins, come here, boy. Come on, we got to live together. That's all Christianity was teaching. I was in Barnes & Noble's today for a couple of hours waiting on an appointment, and I was just up there looking at some books. And they had some books on the new World Trade Center. A big, thick book with all the pictures. I looked at the building and everything. And I looked at that. It looked like something out of a Fantasyland thing. Because when I think of the World Trade Center that was there, there's no comparison to this Disneyland building that they built up in a few years. No comparison. None. And watching the book, I've gone to New York. I don't need to go and see it in person. It's nothing to see. And I know I'm one of those guys. I don't believe in a conspiracy theory. I just don't believe that a jet could take a building like that down. Now, if a jet hit this new World Trade Center, it would probably crumble like, you know, sticks and glass. Because that's all it is. But the engineering feat is marvelous. I can't wait for the DVD to come out on how they put that together. I have the DVD on how the old one was put together. And I'm going to tell you, after seeing that, I know no plane alone could do that. I was in Los Angeles. I was a young man married to Lucy when a plane crashed into a building downtown. And it crashed right into the building and it burned for 2 days and the building did not collapse. First time in human history, a building with that riveted steel standing, and the plane was in there burning. The only thing that would do is that the gasoline would burn out and the building would burn up. That's why the firemen that went in there, see, it's been a long time ago. Some of you forgot, I didn't. And the firemen said, we can have this fire knocked out in 30 minutes. Send some hose up here. The fire chief who died in the thing said it. I heard him when he said it on live television. And Cronkite, one of them, said, oh, he said he can put it out. Then the next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. Well, what was a boom, boom, boom that I heard and saw? What was that? Boom, 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 boom. And there was some eyewitness said there was some charges going off in the basement of the building before the top of the building fell. So what was that about? Boom, boom, boom. There was a reporter on the ground floor doing a report, and they heard it. Boom, boom, boom. And they said, what was that? You know what that was? That was the pylons on the bottom being weakened. And so that when the building falls, it would fall flat. Why would you have a building fall in an organized fall and then you don't have the pylons beneath the street level taken off? Because you want them to be digging in layers, and so that the American people can be subdifluged. I know government. I know governments. That's what governments do to people all the time. They will kill 200,000 people in order to go overseas and to rape a land and bring pillage and bloodshed on the heads of some innocent people in that part of the world, and just to richen their own pockets. And if your preachers in the church are not telling you that, they're lying to you. And Hillary and Donald, they cousins. First cousins. Y'all just go ahead and have fun with your game. Hillary even stated that black people are so weak in the mind that they need to be locked up. Hillary, the wife of Bill Clinton, the one that you say he was the first black president before Obama. See, I know black people. We run after man, ooh wee. Let Beyonce walk in this office right now. I'm going to say, number one, get out, and then I'm going to probably put out the person that let her in my house. That's how much I think about Beyonce. What's she doing over here? How many of you would bust a vein if she just came and stood in front of you and looked at you? But then you got that husband that needs you to look at him. You ain't looking at him. You got that wife that needs you to spend some time with her. No, you don't want to spend no time with her. But you let Beyonce come home. Y'all need to stop that. You know what that's called? It's called idolatry. You have made a human being something to idolize and to worship. Now, if you think that's all right, go ahead. And let me tell you something. Some of them same people that be going down to that barbershop talking about me idolize these people, because I've seen it when the woman, man, I remember I was with some church people, and Beyonce came on dancing, and they all said, shut up, shut up. You're making too much noise. I want to see my program. I want to see her dance. Shut up. And I thought, and I said, these are church people? Now, what is the result of that? You got a little boys growing up in a house trying to dance like Beyonce. These little boys grow up and become young men, and instead of the natural response to how a man should graciously sway his body with a woman, the boy is bouncing his buttocks like that of a whorish type woman trying to get some service. This is terrible. This is terrible. We need to come to grips and say, you know what? All right, you can be in a private party and you can do like that. You're around your friends and everything, but please don't let that get out that you like that, because everybody doesn't see that as a state of decency, even though this country is becoming more and more and more indecent every day. Man, how much time I got left on this thing? I was only going to talk for 5 minutes, and it's 36 minutes already. All right, I'll give it 4 more minutes. I'm going back to work. I'm looking forward to doing that. But I got to say this. Did you know that I could get in my bed tonight, lie down, have my suit hung out, my tie, my shirt, my shoes are polished, my notebook and everything has been put together here in the office, my briefcase. I can be ready to go, right? And I can lie right down in that bed, lay my head down, close my eyes, and die. Since I know that that is a very good possibility, if I put this webcast up on my site, you will know, even if you hear from others, that if I die tonight, that it is well with my soul. And I hope that it's well with yours also. Thank you for listening to PJ, your internet pastor. I want to apologize for the lack of cast, but I've been very busy. Now I'm just a little busy, and I'm appreciating that. Time to eat a little midnight snack. God bless you. Oh, and you know the drill. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.